Before the war, the administration gave the impression to Iraqis, who were closely watching, that we had only a problem with Saddam and his sons, plus a handful of others. The message sent to Iraqi commanders through a variety of creative means was, "Don't fight. Just let us get rid of Saddam." Because of those messages, many Iraqi commanders did not fight and actually sent their troops home. Yet, after Jerry Bremer was appointed proconsul of Iraq, the U.S. had another message: "You're all fired." Not only did the United States announce it was dismissing the Iraqi Army Officer Corps, it went on to relieve anyone who was a member of the Ba'ath Party from any job they might hold. The hundreds of thousands of people affected by this bait and switch were then told that the pensions they had planned on when hitting retirement age would not be there. It is little wonder that U.S. popularity plummeted and critical infrastructures and services in Iraq stopped working. It is difficult for the world's sole superpower to be popular, but it's not impossible. A superpower has different responsibilities and perspectives than other nations, but many other nations' governments and peoples will understand and sympathize if they believe the superpower is a good global citizen that respects the rights and opinions of other nations. I thought this was the concept behind candidate Bush's call for a more humble U.S. foreign policy, presumably one more humble than the Bill Clinton foreign policy. That thought seemed to be lost quickly after candidate Bush became President Bush. It was not just that the United States objected to the Kyoto Treaty on the Environment or the International Criminal Court, both things to which we should object. It was the arrogance in the way we objected. At a meeting with my staff in the summer of 2001, I suggested, if these guys in this administration are going to want an international coalition to invade Iraq next year, they're sure not making a lot of friends. The invasion, when it came in 2003, lost us many friends. In Muslim countries, the U.S. invasion of Iraq increased support for al-Qaeda and radical anti-Americanism. Elsewhere, we were now seen as a super bully more than a superpower. When the United States next needs international support, when we need people around the world to believe that action is required to deal with Iranian or Korean nuclear weapons, who will join us? Who will believe us? Even more damaging is the loss of credibility that the national security institutions have suffered among our own people. Americans now know that Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with September 11th, that there was no imminent threat from Iraqi weapons of mass destruction, that there was a secret sticker shock about the costs of war in lives and dollars. It is important that the trust in America's word be restored, essential that we return to dealing with the real threats. Unless we address these real problems, we will suffer again. Instead of energetically pursuing the priority of creating an ideological counterweight for al-Qaeda, we invaded Iraq and gave al-Qaeda exactly the propaganda fuel it needed. So much for the second of the three priorities that we should have been pursuing after September 11th. Our third priority should have been to strengthen several key governments that are at risk to al-Qaeda, or, in the case of Iran, are already in the hands of terrorists that have supported al-Qaeda.